It's good for us to be together and to celebrate ahead of Thanksgiving on a Sunday morning. And right you were about that. And I'm so thankful for Todd Berkeley. Years and years ago, he and I spent a lot of time together doing Bible study. He was a fresh new Christian, as was his bride. And it's just wonderful to see him and to appreciate what he's sending for us. It's not the same thing as having live a worship leader, but doggone if anybody could do well, it's certainly Todd. I bring him up because I'd like you to pray for him. He's had a very good career. Matter of fact, he went to junior college, and then right out of junior college, he got a full ride scholarship to Harvard. So you know he's no slouch. But he's had a big concern business going, and that was interrupted 2 years ago or three. And then he started his own work, and it was flourishing until this last 6 months, apparently. Things have really blown up for him in a serious way. So keep him in prayer, if you would. And speaking of prayer, I want you to continue to remember Bob and Jan and their son, Rob. Rob's cancer is inoperable, and they're going to have to rely on medication. And so it's a difficult time for them. So he lives there in their home. So let's take just a moment right now and let's pray, shall we? Lord, you're so good to us. It's sometimes hard to even think about others who are not experiencing that goodness to the full. And so we remember Bob and Jan and Rob and really all the family as they deal with this blow. We ask you, Father, to give a cushion in the heart of Rob to be able to cope with whatever comes. The same for Bob and Jan and the family. And I ask you, God, to strengthen them in your cause. Thank you so much that Rob has long since given his heart to Christ, and therein is his hope. And he's bound for heaven. And in a sense, we're all in a hurry for that. But these are difficult circumstances, and it's rather hard to combine that and hope. But we know that you can provide that for him. Let your Spirit speak to his heart and encourage him. I mean, put courage in him. Also for Bob and Jan. We pray, too, for our brother Todd. By distance, so much has gone on in their lives, and God, he's been a faithful servant of yours for many years. We pray that you'll meet their every need. Bless him and his family, and may they be the recipients of something new and wonderful from you. Thank you for their continued faith despite the difficulties. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Psalm 103, first five verses of a tremendous psalm. And I picked that for Thanksgiving celebration today. And just those verses. And I want to just kind of talk about Thanksgiving and what it means to us, particularly as Christians. So, you know, we'll tell a few stories. We'll talk a little bit about the dimensions of thanks. And thanks for riding along. Back in the early 30s, there was an author named William Stidger, a Christian author. He was seated one day with a group of friends in a restaurant, and everybody was talking about the depression that was going on at the time, how terrible it was, the suffering people, the rich people who were committing suicide daily, the jobless, the entire problem, set of problems that came from the depression. The conversation got more and more miserable as it went on. And there was a minister in the group, and he suddenly broke in and said, "I don't know what I'm going to do, because in 2 or 3 weeks I have to preach a sermon on Thanksgiving. I want to say something affirmative, but what can I say that is affirmative in a period of world depression like this?" So as he spoke, Stidger listened carefully. And he said to him, "Why don't you give thanks to those people who've been a blessing in your life and affirm them in this terrible time?" What a great idea. When it's hard to thank God, and it ought not to be, obviously, maybe it's a good time just to think about thanking each other for what we provide for one another. And obviously, that comes from God, too, originally. So the minister began to think about that, and the thought came to his mind of his school teacher, very dear to him, a wonderful teacher of poetry and English literature from years ago, who had gone out of her way to put a great great love of literature in his life. It had influenced his writings and preaching all his life. So he sat down, and he wrote a letter to this woman, now quite elderly. And in a matter of days, he got a reply written in the feeble scrawl of the aged. "My dear Willie," Stidger said at the time he was about 50 years old and was bald, and no one had called him Willie for a long time. So just the opening sentence warmed his heart. "My dear Willie, I can't tell you how much your note meant to me. I am in my 80s. I live all alone in a small room, cooking my own meals. I feel like the last leaf of autumn lingering behind." Listen to this sentence. "You'll be interested to know that I taught in school for more than 50 years, and yours is the first note of appreciation I ever received. It came on a blue, cold morning, and it cheered me, as nothing has done for years." Stidger wrote, "I'm not very sentimental, but I found myself weeping over that note." Then he thought of a kindly bishop, now retired, an old man who had faced death recently, the death of his wife, and he was all alone. This bishop had taken a lot of time giving this minister advice and counsel and a special brand of love when he first began his ministry. So he sat down and he wrote the old bishop. And in a few days, this reply came. "My dear Will, your letter was so beautiful, so real, that as I sat reading it in my study, tears fell from my eyes, tears of gratitude. Before I realized what I was doing, I rose from my chair and I called her name to share it with her, forgetting she was gone. You will never know how much your letter has warmed my spirit. I've been walking around in the glow of your letter all day long." Good reminder, we need to thank one another. We need to thank those who deserve our thanks. Frankly, we need to thank people that don't deserve our thanks because they've done good things. Thanksgiving is really a gift for the giver and the receiver. It's a wonderful thing. It's a gift we give to others who are special to us and whom we want to tell that they mean something special to us. And that motivation is so terribly important, that we realize our need to express our thanks because we realize how good it feels to receive thanks. At least that's genuine thanks. So when you think about it, being thankful one to speak thanks to, one to receive or be blessed by it. A wonderful thing happens when people thank each other. They forget about fighting, at least for a while, about being upset with each other. You know what? One little secret. One little secret thank you can bring a surprise healing. You ever had that happen to you? Just a word of thanks to someone healed something? I have. They came back to me and said, you know, I was really hurt by you. I didn't know a thing. And it's lasted a long time. But when I got this gratitude note, I forgot all about it. And I realized that was all in my mind. So thank the Lord. If you're inspired to write a thank you note or to call somebody and just say, I'm grateful for you, do it. You never know what God's going to be doing behind the scenes. People forget about fighting and fussing and feeling upset with one another when Thanksgiving is in the air. One little sincere thank you can bring a surprised healing, because gratitude is, in essence, genuinely good feelings, and they travel through the air between and among friends. A word of gratitude can even make a friend. Remember that. Thanksgiving is a gift. Oh, duh. Giving, gift. It's the same word, just adding the element of thanks. Now, everybody loves to get a gift, especially when they didn't expect it. You know, it's muted badly at Christmas because we all expect gifts, right? Oh, well, that's nice, you know. But when you don't expect it, it's wonderful. And to receive a thank you note, or even to send a thank you note, brings a deep blessing to the heart. Because we all love gifts. Sometimes contacting, thank them for what they've done, for them themselves, how they've blessed us, just who they are. One of the very best gifts you could ever, ever give. By the way, God also appreciates Thanksgiving greetings. I hope we did that this morning in our worship. As we set the name of Jesus right in the midst of us and thought of all of the things attached to our relationship to him. Can we be thankful for that? Oh, man, yes. Of course we can. Of course we should. Does it bless God? Does it make him feel better when we say thanks to him? You bet it does. I'm all these days about how we are like God. Enough that we can know how he feels about certain things. We are, after all, made in his image, imago Dei. So much of who we are, especially in the inner parts of our hearts and our soul, are made in his image. And so when we know we receive thanksgiving and it makes our heart full, we got to know that God multiplied many times over is grateful to receive our thanksgiving. In fact, he even tells us to thank him because we forget. Thanksgiving is a gift. It's a gift we give, and it's a gift we get. And Thanksgiving ought not to be the only time we do that, but obviously we need a reminder once in a while. I do. I did not preach on Thanksgiving, thanks on Thanksgiving for the last 2 years, and I thought, well, it's time to use this opportunity. The best way to help someone, to respond to someone who has helped you, may not necessarily be to return that favor, but just to say thanks. Sometimes I think reciprocal gifts are like setting things even. You know, okay, you gave me a gift, okay, I gave you a gift. I'll give you a gift, you give me a gift. Okay, good. Just thank me. I don't need anything. Just thank that person. He doesn't need your gift. He needs your thanks. It's a great encouragement. You know that because you receive it and feel the same way. Thanksgiving is more than a gift, though. Thanksgiving really is a prayer. It's certainly a prayer to God. After all, you're going out of the way to do something for someone else when you say thanks. Isn't it nice when they take that moment and say to you, thank you? Thank you is like the wrapping of a gift. It makes it look really nice. Makes it feel good to open it. Since we are made indelibly like God in his image, now there's far more to God, obviously, than there is to us. But he said, I make you in my image, in my likeness. So we are like him. Since we are made indelibly in his image, so we know that in many ways we're like him. Qualitatively, not quantitatively. It's no wonder that the Creator and the created find joy in similar things. That we enjoy giving thanks and receiving thanks. I sometimes think we enjoy receiving thanks because we enjoy sending thanks. And then sometimes I think we enjoy sending thanks because we receive thanks and we enjoy that. Thanksgiving is a marvelous mutual gift. I want to encourage us as Christian people, recipients of the greatest of all gifts, to be number one, thankful. Thankful to God. And then that thanksgiving released in our spirit. This sense of giving thanks. Giving as a gift. Will be roused in us and will be quick to say meaningful thank yous to others. I got to be careful because sometimes we say, yeah, thanks. You know, we need to really mean it when we say thanks. Amen? I know I want to hear it in a sincere way, and so I ought to give it in a sincere way. So when we thank God particularly, it is expressed as a prayer. And it's indistinguishable, really, from worship. As the psalm read, these were blessings God has provided. Why do you think David was writing it like that? Can you imagine? I mean, in his heart was a spirit of thanks for all of these things God was doing for him and has done for him and all of us. So giving him thanks is the proper reciprocal response. And it's like worship. Thanksgiving is like worship. Worship is thanksgiving, isn't it? Not a single thanks in these verses. Not one word of thanks. But it was a thank you to God. Give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Tell of all his wonderful works. Thanksgiving is the key to peace. Now, thought long and hard about this. It doesn't seem immediately obvious. But when I know I have expressed thanks to a person or a group of people even, I know somehow I'm right with them. I didn't pay them off with the thanks. I just knew my spirit was right toward them. And have a pretty good idea that theirs is right toward me. Because receiving thanks is a great gift, isn't it? It is. Philippians 4, verses 4 to 7. Thanksgiving is the key to peace. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, and I have it capitalized here in my notes, because I think in the context of Philippians 4. That is really important. With thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank others. Be at peace. Thank God and be at his peace. Colossians 3:15 says, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to." And then Paul closes that short comment, "Be ye peaceful." Relation with other people have a lot to do with being thankful. I have a homespun story here someplace. Oh, here it is. Wait a minute. By spun, I did fictitious. This really happened. I remember years ago when we would visit with Charlotte's grandparents. They live about 90 miles south and east of here in a little town called Jeff. Actually, they lived in Sisney. Those are two twin towns down there. It was often Thanksgiving when we went. Thanksgiving weekend offered a perfect opportunity to get away for more than just one day, and they loved it when we stayed with them. So every year we were there, on a Friday morning after everyone had snored their way through their 8-hour tryptophan-induced coma, Grandpa and I got up early, and we went to the place of tradition, which was the restaurant downtown across from the county offices, right on the square. Grandpa Burton had gone there every Friday morning. It was a religious thing, I think. You know, these guys, buddies, all farmers, you know, they came in their overalls, and they sat at the liar's table. You familiar with the liar's table? That's where you get together with friends, and you drink coffee, and you tell lies about things, and expect someone else to believe it, and they never do. So this assembly of farmers, usually 7 or 8, made their way to the same table, the liar's table, and the competition for the biggest lie began. We would sit, and I did this, I think, 3 out of 5 years there. We'd sit, we'd order coffee from the nice woman who owned the place, who swept the floors at the place, cleaned the tables at the place, cooked the food at the place, and served coffee. Every time one of the men would grunt, I noticed she would hop to it and bring another cup of coffee. He didn't have to ask for it. So most of these men knew each other really, really well. And most of them actually remembered me. A couple of them even remembered my name year to year. It was wonderful. There was a famous duo at the liar's table, Chet and Chuck. Both farmers, leather-skinned men who'd known each other all their lives. I think way back they were cousins. But somehow they just did not like each other. Legend had it that their feud was primarily over whose tractor was better, Chet's red Case or Chuck's green John Deere. Farmers are like that, you know. There was more to the rift, but tractors were the thing that most people heard them fuss with each other about. Actually, I think they hadn't really talked for years. It was everybody else they told lies to at the table, but not each other. So they were awfully quiet toward each other. They never sat next to one another. Grandpa Frank told me that Chet had been sick for a few weeks during harvest the previous year, and Chuck had come over to his place despite his own need to pull in his harvest and to help him, even though he was busy with his own fields, and he harvested all of Chet's beans. And here's the thing. Chuck came to Chet's place in his pickup, and he drove Chet's red case. That's important. So after he was finished, he went in and said he put the case back up just like he should. He grunted okay, and Chuck grunted okay, and miraculously the beans were all brought in. They had not spoken since then, said Grandpa Burton. After we'd all finished our second cups of coffee, maybe third, who knows, Chet reached into the large pocket of his overalls. This is the day now that I was there. And he pulled out an envelope. And he handed it to Chuck. Chuck took the envelope, looking surprised, a very muted surprise. You know, you don't get real emotional if you're a farmer. Maybe his eyebrow came up an eighth of an inch. You know, neither of them spoke a word. It was a thank you card. No one ever asked what message Chet had written in the card, but the big surprise is what fell out of the card as he opened it. In there was a dated photograph of Chuck seated proudly on his John Deere. And a simple message was written in the white border of the picture. You look better in green, Chuck. Thanksgiving is a wonderful, heartwarming thing. It helps us do what the scripture says we ought to do. And that is not only to be friendly with one another, but to fix whatever's wrong between us. Chet and Chuck know there's no better way to do that than to be thankful. So I would encourage you today, first of all, to write thank you notes to people. Oh, Pastor Rich, that's so old-fashioned. We just send a text. No, don't do that. Write something on a piece of paper. Mail it to them or hand it to them, whatever you got to do. And tell somebody important in your life, thank you. Ask God as you prepare that note to make it a habit in your life. Then tell somebody, thank you. Somebody you've never said that to, perhaps, or somebody for whom that has been long overdue. Get out of your shell. Get out of your self-interest. And go to them and say thank you. Someone who's done something meaningful for you. To tell them how valuable that was to you. And then sometime this week, get all by yourself on your knees. Nobody prays that way anymore. Yes, they do. On your knees. And tell God how thankful you are. For your family. For your salvation. For your life. For the grace that he's given you. And the hope that you have in him. Be ye thankful. Lord Jesus, we know there is much for which we should be thankful to you. When you died on the cross, we didn't ask you to do that. The Father called on you to do that. It was a gift. We heard earlier the scripture that reminded us that for the sake of the cross, he went through all of that. We need to be outrageously thankful to you. who forgave our sins, who made us right with our Creator, who made it possible for real redemptive changes to occur in our lives, and who placed in us this blessed hope of one day seeing the Lord Jesus and being changed, seeing Him for fully for what He is, and becoming, surprisingly, the Scripture says, like Him. Lord, we can't understand or appreciate what heaven will be like, the glory of it, the absence of pain or tear or sorrow or death. We can't imagine that. But we can imagine it being wonderful. And we can be thankful. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.